LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
All right, here we go, everyone. Let's build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music. Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina. This week, we welcome our special guest, Miss Beth of SolarMoonSisters.com in Hamilton, Ohio, near Cincinnati, bringing us today's topic, Building a Spiritual Community. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Miss Beth. Make sure you're logged in to Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now let's catch up with our host. Reverend Art, take it away.
Thank you, Reverend James, and welcome everyone yet again to your Monday night delight, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. That being said, it is, as always, Monday. Go on over to our friends at Hoodoo Psychics, jump on their Facebook page, look for their Magic Mondays post, drop a comment, and get entered to win a free 15-minute reading with the Hoodoo Psychic of your choice. You'll find Reverend James and myself there, along with Miss Kat, and many, many other wonderful readers. So don't miss out on that opportunity. It's a $60 value, folks. All right. So excited for tonight's show. But before we jump into things, let's jump back over to you, Reverend James. What is new in your world?
Having to navigate your wonderful script because it had special guests and a www. So I have to apologize to Ms. Beth for kind of skipping over a little bit of that and having to rewind a little.
It's all good.
I never have claimed on any way, shape, or form to be a typist or a linguist. So we'll just let that go.
I'll just have to be more diligent in the future. That's all.
Fixing what Reverend Art broke. All right. Well, all typos aside, I really am excited for today's topic, and we'll be jumping into that here shortly. Is the the whole energy behind building a spiritual community is it's something I'm very passionate about. It's something I've spoken at length about. So we'll definitely it's going to be a fantastic little chat coming up. But welcoming back to the studio one of our very first guests from on Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, Miss Beth of Solar Moon Sisters. It's been since March 3rd since Miss Beth last joined us when she brought the topic of tarot for shadow.
And that's tarot for shadow work. you dropped out. I don't know what happened. We missed that last bit of your sentence.
We lost Reverend Art.
Well, here we go with tech gremlins. All right. But without further ado, let's bring Miss Beth on. How are things going, Beth?
They're going really, really well, actually. How are you doing?
Oh, I can't complain. We've had a lot of, it's been a busy summer for Folk Conjure and for folk faith ministries alike. Clients are coming out of the woodwork currently. So really can't complain, but I have to say, it's really, you've had a banner year since you last joined us. So much has changed and grown and continues to. It's really been phenomenal watching all of the, the new things that you're putting out there in Southwest Ohio. The Cincinnati area. It's northeast of Cincinnati, correct? In the Hamilton region.
It's northwest. Yeah, heading towards like Indiana.
I know we've talked a lot. We've known each other for a while, and we've talked a lot about developing things and really kind of getting to the point of hanging out that shingle, so to speak. But my gosh, did you not hit the ground running like greased lightning on steroids? I mean,
you were there in the beginning when I was just like, this is never going to work. I don't know what I'm doing. And you're like, no, you know what you're doing. Just do it. Just do the thing.
I mean, the classes at the Benninghoffen House sell out spectacular events. The coffee and tarot events that you do around the region, just, hand over fist, fantastic events. And I mean, you just keep adding. And for those that don't know, I'm going to let you tell the story a little bit. So what has been some of the growth? What are some of these things that are out there and in the works?
Oh gosh. So I always have a lot going on in my brain. It's kind of the superpower side of ADHD, right? So I'm always just, what do they say? Like nail and jello and see it, what I enjoy when I actually execute it because I can't plan it in my head. So let's see. I started last fall, as far as in-person readings go. I started last fall at the Witches Market. And then...
Oh, yeah, Hamilton Witches Market.
Yep. And those are going on right now. We actually have one this weekend. So if you are in the Hamilton, Ohio area, make sure you come check that out. It is at the Butler County Courthouse, the cute little square around there. And you will not be able to miss it because it's tents galore. But that was where I started last year with readings. and then or in-person readings. I feel like that's an important distinction. And then I started the classes at Benninghoffen House kind of by chance. I attended another house, another event at the Benninghoffen House and just really vibed with the owner. Becky is just a beautiful human being. And, you know, she gave me the opportunity to teach the first class there, then the second class, and then the third class. And we looped the series back around, you know. So it just kept growing and growing. And the more time I spent in Hamilton, the more ideas I had and the more other small businesses I met. And that's been a really beautiful thing. It's just like everybody just has been looking out for each other. And like if somebody has something they think I would be good for, like they put my name in the pot, you know, like people
the cauldron.
Speak my name in a positive way. Yeah, the cauldron. so it's been a really beautiful thing. And then from there, I met a really beautiful human being named Linnell, and Linnell introduced me to something called the Badass Women's Movement, and that connected me to where I am now at Steel Magnolias. It is a salon and day spa in Hamilton. The owner there just really always had this vision of like a total wellness experience, including spiritual wellness. So
awesome.
I went to her to get my hair done and it was an instant vibe. And, you know, I mentioned something about how I was kind of looking in the Hamilton area, trying to find somewhere to, you know, figuratively set up shop. And she was like, no way. I've always wanted a tarot reader here, and she literally walked me back to a room with a beaded curtain and like this big giant like evil eye mandala on it, and was like, I've always wanted a tarot reader in here. And that's where I am now. It instantly felt like home. So I have like a permanent place to do physical readings and person readings, as well as it's grown into bringing more unique or individual or like LGBTQ friendly, minority friendly, even disability friendly tarot and oracle to the region. It's been an adventure. It's kind of crazy to look back at it because I remember a year ago, I was just like, it's never going to happen. I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, and
I remember you arguing with me.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure you do, because I just am such an impatient person. I'm so impatient. And so if it doesn't instantly work, I just like get so frustrated.
You know, and that's just really though. I mean, when you put this whole thing together, like I mentioned a few moments ago, you know, building a spiritual community is a huge thing for myself. And, you know, helping to build spiritual businesses is also very near and dear to my heart. We've done a few shows with the Fantabulous, Reverend Roy and Papa G, the purveyors of Aroma G's Botanica in Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee. You know, so this is all kind of part and parcel to really the support that the spiritual communities need and the spiritual practitioners need. And you are like at the apex, the pinnacle of what is possible. You found your path, which, you know, we talked a little bit about how you found your path when you were here with us before. You found your path. You followed your heart, you followed your intuition, and, you know, it just blossomed and poster child for, yes, folks, you can do this too. And I'm sure.
Me as a poster child? Oh no, don't tell anybody that.
No, and really, for anybody that is listening, definitely go to the Solar Moon Sisters Facebook page. Go to the Solar Moon Sisters Instagram page. Follow the page, and you can see how this journey really has unfolded. And, you know, Beth, you is phenomenal with sharing of, you know, the stories and the energies and everything around these events that come around. It's like a blueprint almost. But you feel like you're part of a family as you watch this, and you really do. And this is one thing that you and I mean, like I said, we've been friends for a while. This is one thing that we've shared, is that inclusiveness and that toward nature, and really trying to bring all of these disparate parts together into something that works holistically. And I'm just going to, I have to say, you are a true asset there in Southwest Ohio for everybody that has the ability and the opportunity to come and experience what it is you provide. I have a feeling you're like, oh,
I'm
shit,
so sorry,
what do I
so
say to that?
Decided to implode. What has happened?
It's the tech gremlins. They only come out Monday nights, and only from roughly 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. I'm convinced of this.
Oh, it's so weird. It won't let me switch back. That's very, very odd. You shared the gremlins with me. What are we going to do? Hold on just a second.
It's time for an exorcism. Phyllis Margaret Gabor in the chat says, I think it's BTR gremlins. Phyllis was part of the BTR meltdown episode that we had, where no one could hear anyone, no one could talk to anyone, and we all ended up in a chat on another platform for the evening. Which that platform, not just to remind everybody, that is coming back and coming back soon. Reverend James and I will be fleshing out a little bit more on that. But so what are some of the things that you have?
I can't do the gremlin, so we're just going to do this the old school way.
I know the feeling. I keep three different methods of connecting with me every night. But what kind of, is there any sneak peeks of anything upcoming that you want to share? Any new angles you're checking out? Any more events coming up in the Hamilton area that people that are local or semi-local? I mean, I'm only 5 hours away, so it you never know when Reverend James may appear.
Yeah, we have a lot going on. So this weekend we have I'm in the wrong calendar. Look at that. Okay, so this weekend we have the Witches Market, like I said, and that is on Saturday night. The cool thing about the Witches Market, too, is they have actually expanded throughout the Cincinnati and Dayton areas.
Wow.
I only personally attend the Hamilton one, but yeah, they are just growing and growing. So it's beautiful to see. October is going to be a busy month.
As it should be.
We have our repeating coffee and tarot study group. So those are going to be a lot of fun. And those are just like a really casual, you know, nothing is specifically taught. But anybody can come to those, even if you're brand spanking new to tarot, and we all just kind of sit around and talk about different topics. We do practice pools. So those are a lot of fun. And I'm going to be attending something called the Witch's Night Out at Burger Farm. I am not actually reading at that event or anything, but if anybody goes out to that, please come and say hi to me. because it is going to be so much fun. I am doing an Intro to Tarot class in Covington, Kentucky on Friday the 13th. And that one is, yes, yeah, I had nothing planned for Friday the 13th. I was like, what are we doing? But that one's going to be a lot of fun because I don't get down to the Cincinnati area for classes and stuff. So that'll be fun to go down and meet a whole bunch of new people. We have the Ladies Night in Witchcrafting Jamboree at the Benninghoffen House on the 19th. That one is going to be so much fun. It is a hands-on event with spell bottles, with tarot workshops, with candle dressing. The instructors for that are going to be myself, Madison, who does esthetician services at Steel Magnolias with me, and then Aaron from Alchemy and Art, who just makes phenomenal candles and hand-thrown ceramics and designs her own stickers and labels and everything. It's so cool. Gosh, what else do we have going on? There's so much. We have another witches market in October. And then the next big thing after that, and this is all between here and Halloween, so it's kind of crazy. We have the Gathering in Edmonton, Kentucky, at a place called Hollow Baron Magic, I believe. It is just like a whole weekend of primitive camping and nice. Witchy classes and events and vending, and it's just going to be so much fun. And I'm going to teach a modern tarot court class at that. And the really cool part about that is all of the classes are included with ticket costs. So anything that you want to come and learn, it is welcome for anyone attending to just walk in and attend the class. That's going to be super fun.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Yes. It was, you know, a really important thing to the person who put it together that it's accessible for everyone who attends. And I was like, that's a really beautiful idea. I don't know if I have anything on this calendar for November. And you know I'm not going to remember anything because you know me. but I do, over the winter, I am going to be teaching my first six-week class at the Fairfield Community Arts Center. So it's going to be a much more in-depth six-week program for people to come out and really get into tarot on a much deeper basis. So that is going to be super fun, and it's something that has been in the works for a while, and I am really excited for that too.
Not sure when you're planning on breathing at all over the next month, but
I don't do that. I don't do that. You know that. You know me better than that.
No,
that is not honestly in the schedule.
Right. She does pencil things like that in. But honestly, though, from March till now and a year ago till now, the story of your growth and your involvement and care and compassion for that entire Cincinnati area, Hamilton, at large, it's very inspirational, and I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what the next year will hold. But I think we're at a good spot to take a few messages from our sponsors.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurement, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Instant Indication, Tuesdays. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voigt, Tuesdays 4 to 5, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, in syndication, Thursdays, all times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at LuckyMojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Back to you, Reverend Art.
Thank you, Reverend James. And, you know, I can't wait to get started. So I'm, for once, not going to ramble. Building a spiritual community, though, is... It's a task that in so many ways is made difficult for the people that are seeking. Finding those communities is even harder. I know we relegate a lot to social media in these groups, and it's so hard to really kind of bring it all together when you have your keyboard trolls and the gatekeeping and so on and so forth that really kind of push people out of the way and off of their path. So, you know, I'm going to turn this over to you, Beth. Let's kick it off with building a spiritual community.
Well, building off of what you're speaking to of the gatekeeping and all of that, just all of the ick, I think that kind of gets into what I would consider like the first, I don't know, I don't want to say they're building a spiritual community, but there are definitely things to do before you even start, and then things that make sense as you start to get the ball rolling. In order for the gatekeeping and the trolls and the just nasty, nasty, I don't even know how to put it into words, but all of the growth out there, the best way to start approaching wanting to have a spiritual community is just start first with yourself. You know, you already know I'm a huge fan of like shadow work, and I'm, you know, I bug all my friends about getting into therapy, and you know, we all have things to work on with ourselves. And in order to really find your people, you really have to know yourself first. So my biggest recommendation for anyone who is really looking to find their people and start building their community is start with yourself. It's really hard to recognize who the people are going to be that are good for you if you don't really know what you're looking for, like out of a community and things like that. So
that makes so much sense.
Yeah, that would be like the first place to start, you know, the thing that you have the most control over, and that's yourself.
You know, so many people don't take that essential step of really knowing themselves. You know, you'll hear the comments, know thyself. How do you know what you vibe with if you haven't really spent that introspective time to really grab hold of and look with unbiased eyes at the world around you?
Exactly. you know, like what you just said is so perfect. Like, how do you know what you vibe with? Like, if you don't know your vibe, period.
Period. End of story.
Yeah. Period. but yeah, I mean, it's such an important step. And I think a lot of people are so quick to jump into looking outside of themselves and looking for a place to, you know, fit in or join or things like that, that they forget that, like, first they have to know themselves and what exactly it is they want to fit into or vibe with. But yeah, that's always the first place I recommend people get started when they're trying to find a community, because, you know, what I consider my spiritual community, my people around me, is not going to be the same as even some of the friends I have. Like, they have a totally different spiritual community than me, and that's totally fine. But if I tried to just walk into their community with them, it would never feel like home. You know, it wouldn't have the same effect.
You know, it's very telling, though, when we kind of live in a world where everybody feels like they have to have a label. It's I am a druid. I am a witch. I am a this. I am a that. You know, that there can't be any blurred lines, or, you know, there can't be any, you know, crossovers or intertwining. And really, that's part of finding who you are. That's part of understanding yourself, is really to, yes, you can incorporate aspects of all of these different paths. You're not pigeonholed. You're not that square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And when it comes down to it, like, if people really need to feel like they have a title, and I think it's important that people realize that titles are for other people to understand what we're doing, not for us to understand it. So if you really need that title and you're like me and you're just like a big hot mess out here, like picking up everything from here and there, like technically you would be an eclectic practitioner. So like there's still a title for it, kind of the hot mess of the witchery world. There are going to be so many people mad at me for saying that, but it's the truth. Like we are just out here like, okay, I vibe with that. Cool. Like that feels good to me. And nope, I don't vibe with that. You know, so the most important thing about spiritual practice is intention is everything. And if you're forcing yourself into a practice that you don't vibe with, it's never going to be as effective. It's never going to feel like home. And the people are never going to feel like their community.
You know, the one point that you made was such kind of a very key sort of a statement, is that, you know, we don't have to title ourselves. Titles are for other people to understand us. If you're wasting your time, you know, beating your head up against a wall, saying, you know, why am I not of this? Why am I not of that? You're kind of doing it wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you have to ask yourself, why am I not of this? Then you're missing the point. Like, you're just not of that. That's okay. You don't have to be of that. You don't have to be anything other than exactly what you are.
So,
and that honestly kind of plays into, as you do all of that self-work, like it's important to leave behind the ego that comes with, you know, before you can have a community, because if you go into community with an ego, it becomes a situation where you can end up becoming the gatekeeper or the person who is building themselves up by tearing other people down. And that's why it's like, just know yourself and be comfortable being yourself and just like going for it and not feeling like you have to be a this or that. You're just you, and that's perfectly good enough.
You know, and that's completely true. And with there's so many different ways to start this know thyself process. You know, some whether if you enjoy reading, there are countless resources available. Maybe it's, you know, really spending quiet, reflective time with yourself, you know, meditation and things of that nature. You know, however you find yourself works and is valid.
And it's going to look different for everyone. There is no cut and dry way to travel within. It's going to look a little bit different for everyone, especially because we're not in each other's heads. And so when we're trying to find all of these different methods of traveling within, you may find that something absolutely doesn't work for you until you find what does work. And it can be a very frustrating process. That was kind of a silly, like, almost duh statement, but, like, people get really stuck on, like, meditation, for example, because everybody's like, oh, meditate, meditate. Well, someone like me who has ADHD and can't sit still and doesn't have mind's eye and doesn't have internal monologue, meditation was completely unreachable for me for up until the last year. So when people would just be like, oh, you know, just meditate on it, just meditate on it. I'm like, absolutely nothing happens when I meditate besides me getting pissed off. So that didn't help it. I mean, that's showing me a little bit of my shadow, but it's not doing anything for my journey within. So it's just important that people are comfortable trying different things and understanding that journey does not look the same for everyone.
You know, you actually brought up yet again another very valid and important point. You know, you document this pretty extensively in the posts on Solar Moon Sisters about, you know, the fight, quote unquote, against ADHD and other aspects of the shadow work that you've gone through. And people need to know also that these things don't limit you. They're not a hindrance in your path. It's a part of you to accept, to grow with, and to really learn to love yourself with the existence of.
I mean, it's really important on the journey within to meet yourself where you are instead of where you want to be or where you imagine you are. And that's why knowing yourself is so important, and trying the different things and seeing what sticks is so important. And I will say, just to drop something here for anyone else who struggles with this, things that help very specifically if you have ADHD or you don't have visualization or you don't have internal monologue, is to specifically look for meditations geared towards those mind types. ADHD guided meditation is totally a thing, and it was a big light bulb moment for me because in the meditation itself, I can't remember which particular one it was, he was just like, your mind is going to wander, and that's okay. Just acknowledge the thought and let it go and come back. And it was like such an aha moment for me because every meditation I had ever done always really pushed the whole clear your mind like mentality. And I couldn't do that. I can't do that. That does not exist for me. So that was a big moment to kind of working through that block, was realizing that it was okay to meet myself where I was instead of trying to force myself into this process that I couldn't do.
You know, so once we've done this work and really built this foundation, and we're starting to reach out and find our people, our tribe, if you will. I know some people refer to it like that. You know, you do so from a very clear and well-developed place of strength. I know
yeah.
a lot of people.
I mean, it becomes very organic.
It does. In a lot of people, I think, in missing this all-important first step is really why you'll see people stumbling through, you know, jumping from this to that to the other thing and never really finding a home.
Yeah, I agree. It's I don't know. When you know yourself and you have an idea of what your boundaries are and what relationships with other people look like for you and for how you want to support them and things like that, like it really becomes such an easy situation to know pretty quickly what does and doesn't feel like home. And even though I say it happens really organically, it doesn't mean you don't have to try, because you have to get out there and you go, you know, all these different things and looking for what feels like home. But when it happens, it's a very organic process. Like, it's not forced. It doesn't take this like soul crushing amount of work to fit in, because you're not, you know, a square peg trying to fit into a circle and not understanding why it doesn't work.
You know, and I think one thing too, and let me know if you agree with this or not, but I think it's also very important though, at this stage, when you are venturing out and, you know, you've turned on your light and you're trying to draw out the people into your community. It's important to maintain an objectivity, to not really be trying to literally find people specifically like you. Be willing to interact, be willing to learn, be willing to have those conversations with people. And I in this day and age, I hate that I feel like I have to say it this way, those adult conversations, without name calling or any other sort of BS approach, but remain open to others the way you would have them remain open to you.
Right. Yeah. I think that's why, you know, it becomes so important to approach community building without ego, and really with coming from as healed of a place as you can, which we all are constantly healing, but a healed place where you know yourself and not just this, you know, hurt version of yourself, so that you come into these communities and you never want to be, you know, the quote unquote smartest person in the room, which isn't necessarily to say that person is any smarter than anyone else, but they may have more knowledge on a particular topic that they can share with you. And that's where it really becomes important to not just surround yourself with people who A, are exactly like you, and B, know exactly what you know, because then you never have an opportunity to grow, and you're not really bringing anything to each other within that community. You're just kind of plateauing instantly. That doesn't feel like a community to me. That feels like a cult almost.
I mean, to an extent, maybe, but you're right, you know. Be open to those challenges and those discussions, and continue. Learning is not a finite process. you can spend a year getting to know yourself. You can spend 10 years getting to know yourself. And either end of that spectrum or beyond is perfectly fine. But once you've started to venture out and really to make your connections, always remember to always be learning.
Absolutely.
No stagnation.
Absolutely. I mean, there's always something to learn. There is always something in the room around you, the world around you, to learn from. And anyone who doesn't think that is probably someone who's, you know, living an ego and just, you know, if you think you know it all, then you've missed the point of the entire human experience, right? Like, we're here to learn, and we're supposed to be learning constantly. And we're always learning about ourselves, because if you're not learning about yourself, then you're not evolving and you're not growing. So it should be a lifelong process. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a strange misconception that people think, you know, even about shadow work or therapy or, you know, even just generally knowing yourself. They think like, oh, well, here I am. I'm in a place where I'm secure and I'm happy with myself, and I'll be like this forever. And it's like, well, if that were true, then you're never going to evolve anymore from exactly where you are right now.
Couldn't agree more. And, you know, I think, to be honest, when we talk about this, the whole building a spiritual community thing, I really do feel that you kind of are able to almost teach like a master class in this subject. You know, a lot of people struggle. A lot of people struggle because of ego. Not a lot of people call out the fact that ego is one of the largest detractors for actually building a thriving and kind of exciting community. And some of the things, you know, once you're venturing out, you know, you're looking for places to fit in. You're looking for places to participate, things to pique your interest. And this is, I'm almost of a mind to kind of use the growth of Solar Moon Sisters as an example here. Is you started out, you poked your head out from the shell and you're looking around and you found the Hamilton Witches Market, which, you know, it was a start. And I still remember looking at the pictures of your booth when you started to how you have your booth set up now. And it's like, well, you can definitely see the progression there.
those early days.
You know, but it started from, you know what, you got out there, you set up a table. And if I remember right, you had your husband and son helping you hand out candy Halloween last year.
I did.
You know, rope the family in. But really just, it's getting out there and making those connections. And there was no pretense there. You know, there was no, I'm here, I'm on the scene sort of a thing. It's like, no. Let's do this. Let's have some fun. And the energy that you can see just emanating from the pictures of those events, you can feel that connection being built. You know, so tiptoeing out is kind of to kind of start things. But I think this is kind of a point, and correct me if I'm wrong, or if you think differently, where the whole community building aspect kind of forks off, because you have the participants, and then you have the people that are already somewhat established that need to be welcoming and open to the new faces coming around and the new energies coming around and the new thoughts that are coming around. And I think that's a stumbling block in a lot of regions. You know, I've been around for a lot of years. I've been, you know, from New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio. I've seen some out west, different communities where those that are already established are making it difficult for new faces, new energies, new thoughts, etc. And then whining that the community is not growing.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely speak to that too. But before that, I even want to say before I was tiptoeing out into the witch's market, like I have to give like a huge amount of recognition to the friends that were in my life then and are still in my life now who were behind me, pushing me and, you know, encouraging me and seeing the value in me that I didn't necessarily see. And those same people are still with me. Like you've seen my friend Ivy doing the market and she's one of the first people who let me practice a reading on her in person, you know? And so like that, it's such a big thing to see how as you grow and evolve, your community can grow and evolve with you, even if they're not necessarily into the same things that you're into or doing the same things that you're into. Like Ivy doesn't read tarot, but she's still out there rooting for me and supporting me at the market, like in a very hands-on way. And then like my friend Dottie, who's joined us now, she came to one of my classes and just instantly, you know, it was just one of those things where it was like, okay, this is one of my people. And it's just evolved that way. And we're all in our own state of evolution, but we're all still like rooting for each other every step of the way. Even if we don't feel like the path is always going to go in the same place, it's like knowing that that's still your person no matter what. I do agree that there is such a, I think it very much so comes from ego and people being threatened because they are kind of in that plateau that we spoke of before. And they see someone come in with this fresh new energy who feels threatening to them, you know, like they are doing the same thing. And then here comes someone who's like, okay, cool. I want to learn everything that you're doing. And then I also want to keep going and do something else. And like that is threatening to them because they're like, well, I learned what I know now and I'm happy where I am. And it's okay to not want to necessarily change up your practices or do anything else, but continuing to learn and grow is very important, and supporting others on their journey is super important.
It's almost like the exact opposite of gatekeeping, to be honest.
Yeah, it is.
To be honest with me.
Absolutely. And I think what it really comes down to is that comes with knowing yourself. Because, like, am I the only tarot reader in Hamilton? No, not by a long shot. There are lots of us. But
you
what
keep
it comes
teaching.
Down to, I know, right? I have people tell me, like, you're going to teach yourself out of a market. And I'm like, no, that's not how that works. but the big thing is I know what I offer because I know, I won't say I know everything about myself because that would be silly at best and just egotistical at worst, but I know what I offer and I know that it's unique to me. And so my clients who want what I offer are always going to come back to me and there's no threat there to me. I fully support there being other tarot readers in my area. I know that their clients who love and adore them would not enjoy me as a reader because I'm not their person. I'm not the person they feel safe with. I'm not the person they vibe with. And that's totally fine. Like, I don't want their client, you know? I don't want to take anything away from anyone else. And that's why, you know, I believe my friend Linnell says something along the lines of, like, it's, you know, it's not a pie. Like, there's plenty for everyone. And one person succeeding doesn't mean another person can't succeed. She's actually the one who has actually helped my path a lot most recently because of her badass women's movement. And she absolutely could have gone the other path and gatekeeped and kept people out. And instead, like, she loves seeing everyone succeed. And it's a beautiful thing when you look up to someone and they're like, you know what? I want great things for you. I don't even know. It's like the biggest validating experience when you look up to somebody and they're like, I want amazing things for you.
You know, and that's one of the things, too, that you have traversed this so well in such a short time where, you know, you do the work to find yourself. You present yourself to what you're hoping will be a welcoming community. And things, you know, you start that networking process, you start that building process, and then you start to find yourself a little bit more, and you don't have, I'm just going to say this, you don't have to have been in practice for decades upon decades to really kind of be a leader in the community, but you've kind of, you in your path, as far as I can see, you've evolved into this leader who really, due to your understanding of who you are, what you're doing, how you're growing, and not being concerned about competition. I think you made a comment to me, if I remember right, earlier today. It was a competition. You said, cooperation.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of those things that comes up a lot, not only in community building, but even in business building. Like, the best philosophy to have is competition happens at the bottom, and at the top, it's collaboration, because we all know that we're bringing something unique, and it's so amazing to bring those things together and see what else you can do by combining your abilities when you have these people who do what they do really well. And they're a whole team that works together.
You know, one of the most important things once you've, you know, as a leader in the spiritual communities, if you're trying to build, truly trying to build without ego, your community, is to really shine that light and spread those vibes around that, you know, all really and truly are welcome. This is one thing I know you do tremendously well, and it again could be a blueprint that could be replicated very easily with, you know, kick the ego to the curb, let the light in, let the love in, let that collaboration gene kick in. And really start to pull people together. You know, you are neurodivergent friendly. You are LGBTQ friendly. You know, women's movement, everything. You literally are a hub of inclusivity that is not commonly found at any level in a lot of spiritual communities that I've seen. And I think this is really part of what is helping to build the community around the Cincinnati area, not just in, you know, the little niche of Northwest Cincinnati, but, you know, back in the day, the only thing I ever knew of on in really in Western Ohio, we had the Universal Light Expo, and there was one other one that I believe is no longer in session, but one was in Cincinnati, one was in Columbus, and that was really all I ever heard about for the better part of 20 years until the last couple years. I see the names being floated around the community too. And these are all the same people that I've seen you working with. So you've built a hell of a blueprint, you and the other community leaders. And that also, you know, I want to backtrack a moment because you actually made a very good point about those people in your life, be they family and friends, that while they might not be a tarot reader, they might not be a psychic, they might not be a medium, they might not, you know, practice magic. But allow yourself to be open to these individuals as well and share your journey with them. They are part of the community. They are part of the support. They are part of building all of this as well.
Yeah. And I think that really gets into, you know, you mentioned something about like it being a lot of like light and stuff. And I think it's important to very specifically make the point here that the success comes in not functioning in absolutes, right? Like, I don't worry about, again, getting into not worrying about labels. I don't worry about if I'm doing light work or shadow work, or, well, not shadow work, as in the look within.
Self-discovery,
but
shadow
work.
Shadow work.
Dark magic. Yes. Yeah. So I'm not functioning in the absolutes. I don't call myself a light worker. I don't say I do dark magic. I don't make myself be limited with absolutes. And I think that's an important thing that I've learned from some of the people I really look up to. Like, it would be preposterous to say that that's like an original thing to me. Like, that was one thing I really admired and realized about people around me, was that they didn't pigeonhole themselves into these limiting beliefs. They were really open to the duality of nature and knowing that that exists within ourselves. And so, you know, while people would see like what I do and consider it, especially because I'm a sun witch and all that, like people think like, oh, you're so like bubbly and light. And I'm like, I guess, but it ain't all bubbles and light. Like we definitely have our dark times too, but it's all about not existing in absolute, balancing all of that out.
You know, and to take it a little bit further too, spiritual communities, in order to grow and thrive, can't negate the non-spiritual members of the community. And what I mean by this is, you know, if you have a spiritual business, you shouldn't only be looking to partner with other spiritual businesses. Look to the mom and pop shops, the day-to-day businesses. And again, something you've done extremely well with the, you know, partnering with coffee shops and Steel Magnolias, the Benninghoffen House. I actually lost track of all of the different places that you've built these, you know, built these relationships with. I mean, I know there's like three or four different coffee shops. It's going to bug me because now there's one that I specifically wanted to call out because they supported there was one that supported a whole other social good aspect too. And I can't specifically remember. I think so. I think they closed for a little bit and they reopened.
They did. That was Fringe. Yeah. So that's a really cool thing about Fringe, right? Is like they are heavily Christian, very, very Christian. And there is often this like weird battle between Christianity and what is considered other. And everyone there was absolutely kind and wonderful to me every time I was ever there. And there was never this like, oh, you read tarot. Like they would see me getting my tarot cards out and like, you know, doing things at the table. And I would sit there with my laptop and take my office hours. And never once was anyone ever like, oh, we don't do that here. You know, like it was never that type of vibe. And that's because they are doing such amazing things in the community as well and invite everyone to be a part of it, regardless of their spiritual practice, regardless of their faith system. And it's just such a beautiful thing. Like that's how it should be across the board for everyone. Like it should always be, you know, you're welcome here. Like if you're curious, if you want to learn, if you want to be a part of this community, come on in.
You know, a lot of times people really do, you know, they try to keep that separation. And part of building that community is building the bridges to interconnect everyone. You know,
so
yes.
I have to, if you could hear me chuckling, I just need you to know why. I immediately heard Trevor, who you know, in my brain, like just yelling, read a book. Because if you read a book, it becomes apparent how it's all the same thing, right? Like a lot of it, when you keep going back and back and back to the sources, like as far back as there is, you know, records, like so much of it is either, I don't want to say the same because that's simplifying, but very similar source work for everything. And so I just, when you started to say that, I heard Trevor in my head yelling, read a book, read a book.
Yeah, Trevor actually joined us here on the show long back doing herbs.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to having him back again soon too. But I mean, he's right. You know, really everything is connected, you know, spiritual, even to the mundane is there are connections and every nuance of a community is needed to build and grow that support. And it's paramount to the longevity of these communities and these movements, honestly, in some cases that are trying to be built. You know, I know you're, I don't think you've met her, but another close friend of the Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places show, as well as Reverend James and myself personally, Doc Murphy, talks regularly about Paganistan in the Twin Cities, up in, you know, the northern U.S., you know, a thriving and bustling community of all walks of pagan life. I still remember the first time, I still kind of giggle when I read Paganistan, because it's a fantastic thing that has united everybody, is, you know, calling that out. There's actually a Paganistan cookbook on Amazon for anybody that's interested.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they did a cookbook. You know, it's official.
That's like next level. That's like, Yeah, but do you have a cookbook? Because we do. Like, that's awesome.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, these communities, there are communities out there that have, they embrace each other for their likes and their differences. They welcome new experiences, new energy, and new faces without concern or ego, and they thrive. And to be honest, in recent years, I've only seen this in large part. And I'm not saying that I've experienced everything across the U.S. And honestly, I would love to hear more community building stories. If anybody that's listening has any to share, send them to me. I would love to highlight them. But really, what I've heard growing in Southwest Ohio and in the Paganistan region, and it really gives me a lot of hope for the future of pagan followers, spiritualists, so on and so forth. I'm almost at a loss for words for a moment here.
I'm
impressed.
What it comes down to, and this is something that, like, I always tell people when they wonder if it's appropriate for them to come to the events I put on. Like, for example, the witchcrafting event. You know, people are like, do I have to be a witch to come? And I'm like, well, no. Like, no. Like, you can just come and have a good time. I mean,
exactly.
It's actual science that, like, rocks and earth and soil have energy. So, like, it's not like you have to be a witch to believe in earth magic, you know? And I think it really gets into when I read tarot from a secular viewpoint, and I tell everyone always, like, all nonviolent paths are welcome. And what I specifically mean by that is we don't weaponize our beliefs to hurt other people. Like, that is pretty much the only deal breaker for me, is if somebody is weaponizing their spiritual belief or trying to use their community to hurt another community. And, like, that gets into the whole philosophy of intolerance, but that's, like, a whole other radio show that we could do. That's a whole other hour and a half. But, like, it really comes down to, like, all nonviolent paths to me are totally valid. I will never invalidate another person's experiences or beliefs, because what a arrogant thing to do, to think, well, I know what I know, and so you must be wrong.
And that's very true. And honestly, that is an approach that a lot of the spiritual leaders in these communities that are struggling to survive, rather not just, you know, let alone thrive, really need to adopt. And I do want to kind of backtrack on myself for a moment, because I know I've called out the whole gatekeeping thing a few times here. When I talk about gatekeeping, I'm not talking about honest to goodness, like, closed tradition sorts of magical practices and such. You know, there are some areas that if you're not, I totally just lost the word, initiated. If you're not initiated, probably shouldn't be dabbling.
Yeah, because you can truly only dabble if you're not initiated, because you're not going to have, you know, for lack of a better term, inner court knowledge, and you're honestly going to probably cause yourself more harm than good. because there are a reason why these practices are closed. There are very powerful things at work, and it's just kind of, again, arrogant to think that you can kick in a door and take over a closed practice and think that everything's going to be hunky-dory, you know? What a phrase. Hunky-dory just came out of the word. Wow. But yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. There is a huge, huge difference between gatekeeping for the sake of ego and closed practice, almost for the sake of safety. I mean, if you are not initiated in a part of these practices, you can really do dangerous things to yourself.
It's very true. And, you know, I understand the practices of protecting those practices in and of themselves. So I did want to just toss that disclaimer out there around my use of the word gatekeeping.
Absolutely.
You know, I've even seen it argued in a couple Facebook groups today about how people are trying to tie some current traditions that are truly neo-pagan and saying how they're, they are ancient and predate like the pyramids and such. And I got a kick out of one guy in one of the Facebook groups, because he's like, it just makes my eye twitch and the corner of my mouth pull back, and I could just like picture this going on, because it really does. It's irritating. When out of ego, as you very deftly put it, these gatekeeping practices go on. So little distinction on the gatekeeping call-outs there.
Absolutely. But gatekeeping versus closed practice are just not even comparable, not even in the same conversation.
Right. You know, and really, I will say this too. Even if you are a practitioner in a closed practice, you still have a level of responsibility and accessibility to build the community in which you live, work, worship, practice, etc. You know, go out. You might not be going out initiating people, but you can definitely educate people to know the difference between an initiated practice versus, you know, or a closed practice per se, versus a, you know, just something that's there for all. Because I think in a lot of cases, the individuals that do practice in closed systems really don't feel, they really don't participate. And they sit on the outskirts. They may wander through a pagan festival and, you know, enjoy a show, enjoy a class, but they never really actively participate. And I'll say this for myself. If I'm at an event and you're feeling like an outsider, come find me, because I will welcome you in with open arms.
Big hug. A big hug. A big hello. You know, I think on with that whole distinction between gatekeeping versus closed practice, and when you're really going to be able to immediately recognize the difference, is people who are doing closed practices are not going to be out there telling you you can't be a part of it. Like, they just aren't even initiating those conversations. Like, aren't out there in the face, because there's no ego there. It's a closed practice because it's a sacred practice, because it's based off of something that is a part of their culture or their lives or something very distinct that has been passed down and has those close practices. And for that reason, they're not out there bragging about it and telling you all about it, but then saying, but you can't be a part of that because you're not XYZ. Like, that doesn't happen. And so if there is someone who is, you know, on social media or at a gathering of some sort bragging about how they do this and they do that, but you're not allowed to, chances are they're not actually a part of those closed practices. They are just acting out of ego to elevate themselves in some way.
That's very true. And you, unfortunately, you do see a lot of this in the social media communities, especially the ones, the larger they grow, certain individuals seem to shine a little bit brighter on the spectrum of gatekeeping and kind of high on the ego level. You know, the one thing is we have, we have about 6 minutes left. One thing I did want to mention too. Well, you know, there's been a lot of really good information and a lot of really good kind of blueprint-like material that has been provided today that hopefully, you know, hopefully we'll hear from other communities that say, you know what, I checked out what you did with Solar Moon Sisters, and I checked out how the Southwestern Ohio region has been growing. And we replicated that here, and we replicated that there. That would be phenomenal. But one thing I did want to mention is when it comes to finding and building community, the one thing that we haven't kind of touched on is really to keep a level head. This is something actually Reverend John St. Germain and I and Conjurman got a little bit tied up with on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour a few weeks back. You know, stay safe. Don't be open to understanding, but don't blindly follow when you're out and trying to build these communities. You know, you can almost pull Trevor back in with the read a book. Have a level of discernment to know what is good for you, what is good for the community, and have the strength to be able to stand up or find someone to help you to stand up when something isn't right.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of folks out there who are in it just for a buck. And
absolutely.
There are some in it that are just in it for power. And so keep those discerning glasses on.
And for the record, we all have made those mistakes. I obviously can't speak for you two, but I have absolutely made those mistakes where, you know, you think you can trust someone. And it's letting your guard down a little too soon because, like, I have a really bad habit of giving people the benefit of the doubt when I shouldn't, right? Like, I try to understand why people are the way that they are, and I will often overlook a red flag or two because I give the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
But that is actually a very dangerous thing. And that's why it is always important that no matter what, you always have yourself to be in your own corner so you can go back and be like, whoa, let's slow down, buddy. Like, you are really putting yourself in some risky situations here if you don't stop and just take a step back. So important before you're involving other people that you know yourself and can trust yourself and don't overlook those red flags.
I can say I've been there myself probably several times more than I probably should have. You know, that there's that whole phrase, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. I never heard what happens on the third or fourth tries, but I'm assuming there's somewhere in there that they'll say something about, hey, dumbass, you should have understood it the first time.
Right. Your guides are just screaming at you, and you're like, why are you so mad at me?
Yeah, that may have happened once or twice over the years, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, those moments when books fall on you because your guides are trying to get a hold of you, and you're just like, la, 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 rose-colored glasses.
That definitely happened to you. I was around for that.
Yeah, a lot of good signs to pay attention to, a lot of good portents. But I love how this all came full circle as well, to the foundation of know thyself, understand yourself, and don't let ego guide your path.
Absolutely. I feel like we could even do a part two, diving in even more.
Yeah, we honestly can, and we very well may, but we are almost out of time. I'm just going to say, if anybody has any community building stories to share, reach out and let us know. Miss Beth and I both very avidly want to hear, but I believe that's absolutely all the time we have for tonight. I hope you've all enjoyed your time with us this evening, and until next time we meet, keep the magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art, and thank you, Miss Beth of SolarMoonSisters.com, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our guest will be the fabulous Doc Murphy of RootDocMurphy.com in Pakistan and the Twin Cities, bringing us a discussion on My Magic Didn't Work, or Did It? We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at FolkConjure.com and at FolkConjure on Facebook and Instagram, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandwordworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics. I am your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. From all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow at Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics, Mages, Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at the same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thank you again, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Beth. So fantastic to have you back in the studio with us this week. Come back anytime. Come back for our next reading palooza. We'll do all kinds of readings on the air and have a lot of fun doing it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me again.
My pleasure. Truly. Don't miss out next week. Doc Murphy's back in the studio with us. I can't wait to see what she's bringing to the table. Blessings, everyone. Good night.